Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone on the top of the homepage and type in ghost. Get yourself $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Stamps.com. Click on the microphone and type in ghost. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks and more.
After a moment there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to me. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am, I'm spectacular.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just, it's a normal day.
Okay. I was going to say why.
I'm not. I'm just, I don't know.
Okay.
Just having a normal day.
Okay.
But if you say things like that, it makes it better or it just makes you really delusional, one of the two.
I think there is something to, you know, fake it till you make it as far as attitude goes.
I agree. I think it can put you in a better mood. Mm-hmm. It can feel better, but I don't really feel bad. I'm just, I just overstated how I was feeling. That's really good. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the program to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over here to our first caller of the program and start hearing some ghost stories. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a new listener. I've been listening for about 2 weeks. My daughter just discovered ghost stories and horror movies. She's about to turn 16, so she's hitting that age. And I've always believed, but my husband thinks everything's silly and everything has a logical explanation, so I really don't have him to talk to about it. I tell him my stories and he just kind of goes, "Well, no, I don't think so." But anyway, mine is more, I just have a question and I'm wondering what you guys think about my relationship with my daughter. We had her in Texas, everything was normal. And when she was a baby, we had this big, Lazy Boy rocker recliner in her nursery. And any time I would rock her in that, which was pretty much every day to put her down for a nap, she was a baby. I would hold her in my arms, about 5 months old. And as I'm rocking her, I would feel like somebody breathing on my forehead. And it wasn't the air vent, which was across the room. And, you know, plus it wasn't how an air conditioner feels. It was like that hot breath just slowly on and off my forehead. And I don't know, I can't tell you why I think this, but in my mind, it was like an old man that would stand behind the chair in the corner and just watch over my daughter. And I never felt scared of him. I felt kind of creeped out that someone was in there with us, but I never felt scared that I couldn't leave my daughter in there. It was more like he was there to watch over her and protect her. And so I would just lay her in her crib and go about my day. You know, as a stay-at-home mom, I would clean and do whatever. And I just kind of felt like he was in there to protect her. But it was nobody. The way that I picture him is just kind of like an older grandpa, white hair, glasses. It's just nobody that I'd be related to. The house had only had one owner before us, and that nobody died in the house. And they were an older couple, but they both lived and left and sold the house to my husband. And so I don't quite know where from. I never saw him, so I can't explain why I think he looks the way in my mind I think he looks. But my daughter has now been asking me a lot of questions about it, and she keeps asking why he was protecting her, and she wishes that he was still around. And honestly, I kind of do too, because she was a healthy kid until she was 11, had a huge grand mal seizure, got diagnosed with epilepsy. In fact, this was about 4.5 years ago, and we just spent a week at the hospital because they monitor her every now and again when she has a little bit of seizure activity. But it's pretty well controlled. But anyway, so after that house, we left Texas and we moved to Arizona, and we bought another house, and it was brand new. And she was 3 years old. And there are two stories with this, and I'm telling you all these because I don't know if it's like a connection that I have with her that just it can't be explained. I don't understand it. But one night, she was about 3 years old, and we had put her to bed. And my kid would go right to sleep. She was a sleeper since 6 weeks old. And about middle of the night, she never woke up. Middle of the night, this one night, I'm, you know, awoken by her touching my arm, and she's whispering. She's like, "Mommy, come here." And I'm like, "Hennessy, go to bed." Like, "No, just go to bed." And she's like, "Mommy, come here." And I'm like, "Go to bed." And I don't even open my eyes because I'm thinking, why is she even in here? She never comes to my room in the middle of the night. Never. And she just kept, "Mommy, come here." And so I finally pop my eyes open, and she's not there. Nobody's there. And I freak out, and I wake my husband up. I'm like, "You need to come to her room with me. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I just heard her calling me," and blah, blah, blah. So we go race down to her room, and my perfectly healthy three-year-old that I put to bed a couple hours before had, like, 104 fever. And we woke her up, and we put her in the bath, and, you know, gave her medicine, and she was not feeling good, and we were freaking out, and my husband's like, "How in the hell?" And I was like, "I don't know, but I'm telling you," I get chills right now, I've been telling this story, "she called me, she was like, 'Mommy, come here, Mommy, come here.'" Girlfriend was passed out in her bed when I got to her room. It was like, I couldn't even tell you, it freaks me out to this day. And then the next one was about a year later. She was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And the only way I can explain this is, I don't know if you guys have ever felt this, but sometimes when you look at yourself in the mirror for a really long time, you kind of start to feel like you don't look like yourself, and it's kind of freaky. Or sometimes you feel like you're not really yourself for a second, and it feels like, "Oh God, is there something in me?" Or so I always thought that was just me, and nobody could tell when I had those feelings. But it always freaks me out. Well, one night I put her to bed. This is the same house in Arizona, and she was like 4 or 5 years old. I put her to bed, and I go to turn off her light, and I just looked at her for a second, and that feeling came over me. And I just kind of smiled at her, and she looks up, and she goes, she's staring at me, and she goes, "Mommy, is that you?" And I said, "Yes, baby, I'm right here." I hadn't even turned off the light yet. I had just finished reading her story, and I was just going to walk out of her room. And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh, it didn't look like you for a second." And then she just laid down like no big deal. And I was so freaked out because I knew I had that feeling in me, but I never thought I looked different on the outside. So I'm not quite sure if she feels stuff, if she maybe hasn't said anything. I always wonder. She's a very sensitive soul. She's a very sensitive girl. She's actually been... we've been told she's got Asperger's on top of her epilepsy, a lot of anxiety. We actually homeschool her now because of her anxiety. And so it's kind of become you know, where she's around us all the time at home, although she's locked up in her room all the time, and she's just always reading Harry Potter fan fiction, or she's reading ghost stories, which is fine with us, but I wonder if she got so into it because I'm wondering if maybe she's feeling something and she's not quite sure how to express it, because one of her things with her Asperger's is her ability to communicate really well, or her inability, I should say. So I just wanted to get your take on those feelings that I have with her. And it only, well, I guess I shouldn't say only, but it's just, it's like three things already where, you know, I felt like a ghost man was protecting her as a child. You know, I heard her calling me in the night when she was really sick. And then, you know, that she could see that it wasn't me for a second. And if it wasn't me, who was it? What was going on? I don't understand what that feeling is. And I do get it every now and again still. And it kind of, it just scares me. So I'd really like to hear your thoughts on that. I did go to therapy after she had her big seizure because it came out of the blue. And my therapist brought up enmeshment, where she's like, you're so in tune with each other's feelings that you kind of take on the responsibility of each other's feelings. So I don't know if that's what, I have no idea. I'm just really interested to hear your thoughts. I also have a really good story about two friends of mine, two stories, I should say, that I really want to call back with because they're freaking amazing. But I just really wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks for listening, and I am going to be listening to you guys for a long time. Bye-bye.
I think when you are really, really close like that, you can be kind of become enmeshed, but that's almost a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's maybe more, they have a more empathic connection.
Sure.
Meaning that it's more of like a physical thing where she knows, like when the daughter was sick.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something where it's not like a, I guess it's not like a psychological change that you make with that person. It's just something that exists.
It's there.
Yeah. It's like sensitivity, but you are especially sensitive to somebody that you're close with.
Me and Harper tell each other horrible jokes all day telepathically from preschool to here and
I wouldn't be surprised. I want to think that, you know, maybe that older gentleman is, he was looking out for her. And you know, maybe ghosts, angels, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
could, you know, they know what's in the future, possibly. They may know that she was going to have some health concerns.
Sure.
And so something's always watching her. And I wouldn't even put it, you know, out of the realm of possibility that it's still the same older guy watching her that woke you up that night but didn't want to scare you by suddenly there's a strange man's voice in your ear saying that, you know, you need to go check your daughter. Instead, he, you know, mimicked the daughter's voice saying, you know, mommy, come here.
It's fun having a considerate ghost.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta kind of do some weird things, I think, to not freak you out.
Yeah, and if they're aware that, mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's some that, you know, are trying to be helpful, but that second thought of, oh, I may freak them out, eludes them, just like it would elude some people.
Yeah.
But I think you have some that, like, I'm going to help, but I got to be careful about this.
I just think either way, either it was something paranormal waking her up or their empathic connection, either thing is paranormal. So
I agree. Hey, we get so many things on demand these days, and it's lovely. It's great. Like, you know, our podcast, you can listen basically to any topic on anything whenever you want. You press a button, boom, you got it. So why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages when you can also do that on demand at home? With Stamps.com. Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient from you. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter of any package using your own computer and printer, and the mail carrier picks it up. You just click, print, mail, and you're done. It could not be any easier. It's super simple. We use it for sending out bunk bed bells, books, and all sorts of stuff. You click, you print, you're done. It's that easy. Right now, you can use our code GHOST for a special offer. Ready for this? GHOST. That's how you spell ghost. Includes up to $50 or $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. It's like free money, essentially. You don't want to wait to this. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in GHOST. Get that up to $55 in free postage, the digital scale, and the four-week trial. Stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the page, type in GHOST. Stamps.com. Enter GHOST. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the program.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Bliss, and it's been a coon age since I've called you, so I thought I would call in. I'm listening to some older episodes of EPPs, and people are talking about the prevalence of hearing ticking or scratching or tapping to like indicate a paranormal presence. And I thought I would tell you about my first memories of the paranormal because they're tied into that. As I mentioned before, I had a fairly paranormal childhood. And the first time I remember really experiencing something that seemed odd and not quite right, I was about 5 years old. And we lived in this really old cabin on this piece of property in the northern backwoods of California in the Redwoods. That used to be a hippie commune, and it was a commune in the 50s and the 60s, and then it was sold to this Christian couple who actually turned it into a Christian commune. So, like, they would have churches and church groups and seminars and families and reunions and all sorts of Christian groups come into the property and stay at all the different houses scattered throughout the property. And my mom was a caretaker of those homes, and we lived on this tiny little cabin on the back part of the property. And it had an attic and an open floor plan below. And I had a little bed on the floor with a bunch of stuffed animals. My sister was in the crib. And I remember laying down at night and starting to doze off, and I would hear ticking in the wall. And this is an outside wall with no roof over it, no other rooms or extensions to that portion of the house. So there was, like, nothing there inside the wall to tick. The only clock we had in the house was on the stove downstairs, and I would hear this ticking. And at first it started out basic normal rhythm of your heart ticking. Tick, 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 tick. But the more attention I paid it, so if I rolled over in bed or looked at the wall, the rhythm of the ticking would change. And it would be, you know, like tick, 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 tick. Tick, tick, tick. And this went on for a few days before I told my mom. And my mom was a born-again Christian, and she firmly held the belief that there are really no benign ghosts or neutral ghosts or benign spirits or repetitive hauntings or residual energy or anything like that. She believed that if you were experiencing something paranormal, it was the presence of the devil and it had to be prayed away. And I certainly believe that in some cases that's the case. You know, if there's true evil out there, and you really do have to have a solid base of faith to kind of combat that. But as a five-year-old, I just wanted my mom to say, you know, it's an animal on the wall, and it's going to be fine. I wanted her to give me some kind of tangible solution to the issue. And it began to persist for months, and it would keep me up at night. And I was already a fairly anxious child at night. I had night terrors, and sleeping was hard for me. And this ticking really ramped up all of that anxiety. And after a while, I noticed that the ticking would follow me around the house. So I would be in a different part of the bedroom, and I would hear it in the wall next to my head. Or I'd be in the bathroom downstairs, and it would be in the floorboards. I'd be in the kitchen, and it would be overhead. And that, you know, I didn't know how to articulate that to my mother. I kind of assumed she already knew, because moms know everything. And this went on for a couple years. This cabin was fairly old, as I said. I don't really know the history of it beyond that it was built in the 1950s, so it's not as old as some houses I've been in. but this thing felt very personalized to me. My mom didn't really experience the ticking, and I couldn't really tell friends, hey, do you hear this strange ticking around me? Because I didn't have a lot of friends. We lived very isolated on that piece of property, and we had our church group, and we saw them once or twice a week in town, but that was like a 30-minute drive. Otherwise, my mom homeschooled us, and we lived quite isolated. So this went on for a couple of years, until I was about 7 years old, and I started getting, I started noticing that the ticking became scratching in the walls, and then the scratching became growling, and that my mom did hear, and it freaked her out. I could tell that it really scared her, and her solution was to pray. It was to pray really hard, to put my faith in God, that he would protect me, his warring angels would keep us safe, and that I just needed to pray hard. And if it kept persisting, I wasn't praying hard enough, I didn't have enough faith, which is a crazy thing for a seven-year-old to hear. You know, I just wanted to feel safe. I wanted to be able to, I wanted to be able to sleep at night. And, you know, my mom's attempts at comfort didn't really do much for me. And she, I felt like at that point, she wasn't really taking it super seriously. It wasn't until I started getting pushed down the stairs that she began to worry. And that pretty much coincided with me waking up with scratches on my body. I would wake up with these long, deep, jagged scratches on my body. And I have very short nails. I always have. They don't grow for anything. And my mom basically knew at that point it wasn't me doing it, because I'd have scratches between my shoulder blades, and they would be deep in sets of three. And they would be feverish and puckered, and they wouldn't heal like other scratches do. I lived out in the woods as a very active child. You know, it wasn't uncommon for me to come home with brambles in my hair and scratches on my face and leaves and all over the place, you know, because I was a wild child. But this was different. And just about the time I started waking up with the scratches, I started being thrown down the stairs. So this house had two levels and an L-shaped staircase without railings on it and a little landing between the two levels. And I was a clumsy child, but my mom witnessed, finally, me being pushed down the stairs. And the first time I remember my mom seeing it, I was on the second portion of the landing, which is a tiny square, basically where the stairs turn to make the L. And I was standing there. And I was physically thrown down that flight of stairs. The extent of the pressure on my body actually flew me across the living room. And my mom, I just remember the shock on her face. And she picked me up, and I was crying, and I was hurt, and she picked me up, and I remember her not saying much. Just, hey, are you okay? Nothing's broken. You're probably going to be bruised. Here you go. Have a piece of chocolate. It's going to be fine. And that didn't do much, because it kept happening, and it got more and more violent. I remember the sensation of somebody grabbing my ankles between the stairs and tripping me. I remember once being thrown all the way from the very top portion of the stairs in the attic to the landing, and then being, you know, crumpling on the landing, and then being physically rolled from the landing down the rest of the stairs. And it was at that point that my mom thought maybe something was seriously wrong. Now, my mom dabbled a lot in the paranormal as a child, especially in her 20s. And she believed, when she became a Christian, that she finally gained some protection against a very malevolent entity that had followed her for 10 or more years of her life, since her own childhood. And she felt like, because she was a Christian and because her children were raised as Christians and we were baptized, that we were protected. And she didn't like to think about the idea that maybe something that had unattached from her had found a new attachment in me. And I was about 7 and a half at this point. And I remember all of this really coming to a head when one night I was starting to feel kind of sick. And before I know it, I'm like passed out on the floor. And when I come to, my memories at this point are fairly hazy, but my mom's on the phone and she's saying to somebody, you know, she's got a terrible fever and it won't go down, and she's twitching and her eyes are rolling in the back of her head, and I don't know what to do. Later, I came to find out that my mom was actually on the phone with the preacher's wife, and the preacher himself was getting a phone tree, a prayer chain phone tree activated with the church elders for me. And I remember this cacophony of voices overhead. It was like the air around me and my mom was just filled full of voices, and they were arguing back and forth. And, you know, there was this sonorous sound of chanting or prayers. But at this point in my life, I still don't know if like that chanting sound was good or bad. But I remember this went on for a while. And I remember like looking around, but everything being edged in a kind of darkness. Like I couldn't see properly. And my mom was probably on the phone for a good hour. That's what she tells me. She like, we prayed for an hour, active prayers of protection and, you know, fighting against the devil. And she's like, finally, it seemed to let you go, whatever it was. And she said, you know, I really wondered if I should have taken you to a doctor because you had a fever of a, like 104 point something, she said. You know, and she's like, I really wondered how quick I could get you into town, because where we lived, it was like a good 20-minute drive to anywhere. You know, we were really isolated. And I remember waking up and feeling yucky, just, you know, drained the way that you do when you're exhausted and you have a high fever, but also free. Like suddenly my skin was my own again, and I hadn't realized that I hadn't felt myself for a very long time. And the attacks, whatever they were, stopped after that for a while, for a couple of years at least. And the ticking went away, and the scratches went away, and me being pushed down the stairs went away, and the bruises went away, and the growls went away. And that was my first real experience of the paranormal, from about the age of 4.5 to 7.5. So it's so interesting the way that the paranormal is often, you know, signaled by that sound, that ticking sound, that tapping sound. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's not always something evil. Maybe it is like a benign spirit, a neutral spirit, a, you know, a residual haunting. I don't know, because I haven't really heard that since. I'm happy to say as an adult, I don't hear it now, and I would be fairly alarmed if I did, because for me, it signals something pretty bad. But I'm really curious to hear from other listeners if that's the case for them, if they heard that ticking, tapping sound, and it didn't end up being bad. It just ended up being like your everyday haunting. And I'd love to get your guys' feedback.
So I think that she was dealing with actually something demonic, don't you? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, just the way that it kept escalating and getting darker and darker, and it started just a ticking and then scratching and then growling and then throwing and yeah. It does not sound like anything good, and it's not one of those things that's like, oh, let's just ask this to leave.
Well, and those things tend to progress and start fairly minute, like a ticking and then, you know, or knocking. But I think if they hadn't had intervention, that, you know, it could have ended up possessing her or her mother or somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that the story kind of ended where it did, because it could have gotten a lot darker really, really fast. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here on the program. We appreciate that. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. My name is Nicole. I've called before, and I wanted to call in and tell you another ghost story or shadow person story. I was working late. I usually work till like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I got off work. I was driving home, and it was a divided highway, a 2-lane. And there was a car that was probably about, I'd say about 5 car lengths ahead of me. And, you know, I lived in the mountains, so, you know, you watch for deer, you watch for animals, and, you know, it's really, really dark. There's no street lights or anything like that. So, I was driving almost home, and all of a sudden, I see a really tall man in a hat start to cross the street right in front of us. It then disappeared when it got to the hood of that person's car in front. I thought I was hallucinating, and I would have thought I was hallucinating if I was by myself, but we both slammed our brakes on at the same time. So how I can describe this is, this was a shadow that was darker than the darkest night. I mean, it stood out dark against, like I said, a wooded, no street light out there in the woods, and it was just dark. It had a hat, and like I said, if I hadn't had somebody in front of me slam their brakes on at the same time, I would have thought I was crazy. And, you know, it just disappeared, and we went on our way. Then about, I would say, probably another month or so passed, I had gotten off work. I worked several jobs in all the same place, and so I worked some in the morning, and I worked some at night, and it all kind of ran together. But anyways, I had gotten off in the afternoon, and I went over to my friend's house. I'd never been to this house before. She was staying there with a friend, and I was sitting on the bed, which it was at the end of the bed, so it kind of faced down the hallway. And as I'm sitting there looking down the hallway, all of a sudden I see a tall man, shadow man, come out of the wall, walk down the hall, and disappear into the bathroom. And this is in the middle of the day. This is probably 1:30 in the afternoon. I was completely surprised and astonished. I've never seen a shadow person since then. I became obsessed with the fact that I had seen this several times. So I started to research it and found out that most people describe it exactly the same way, which is, you know, darker than the darkest night. I didn't know there was a phenomenon about having, you know, long coats or hats, but both times, I don't know if it was the same shadow man, if it was, you know, I really don't know, but they both were wearing a hat, both the same height, and I never saw it again in two different places, you know. I'm not really sure. It didn't really do anything other than just appear and, you know, disappear. So it was really cool. I'm glad that I've learned that I'm not the only one, and it makes me feel kind of cool to experience these things. So nothing too scary, just bizarre, and makes you wonder exactly what this is, or is it a, you know, another dimension, or I don't know. There's so many theories out there. But anyways, thank you so much for hearing my story. Hope you play it. Love you guys. Have a good night. Bye.
It does make you wonder if it's more than one shadow person that wears the hat or the cape or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do they have different capes, you think? When you're a shadow person, do you get to choose your style of hat or your style of cape? Or is this like one size fits all type deal?
I don't know. And being that they don't get to have colors, if it were me, I'd have a cape in every color if I was expected to wear a cape.
Yeah, it's just nobody's going to see it. But I guess if you're the only, what if you're the only one who sees it? I guess it's some joy for you as mm-hmm. the shadow person.
Yeah.
But no, that's an interesting thing. The shadow person section at Kmart.
Yeah.
Everything's just like shadow. Be interesting. That'd be a funny going to a closed down Kmart. Be like, no, it's open, but it's only for shadow people. Everything here is a shadow. It'd be interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. I love your show. I've been listening to it for a very long time, and I'm addicted. This is a question and a story. It's a short story. What is your guys' thoughts on pets in the afterlife? Do you think that there is an afterlife for pets? And if so, do you believe that they're in the same realm as we are, or is it totally different? And my story to that is my father's pug was sick for a while, and she got to where she couldn't use the bathroom. And I went over to his house one day, and I was, you know, laying in the bed with the dog, comforting the dog before she got put down. She was laying there whining because she was in pain. I was laying there with her for an hour. They got her, took her to the vet, put her to sleep, brought her back to the house, and we took her out back and buried her. Now, 5 minutes later, I just wanted to go back into the room where she was at before she passed away, where she was laying with me. I walked in there, and I thought I heard her whimpering, and I told everybody that was in the room with me to be quiet and listen, and we all three stood in the spot where we were laying, and you could hear very faintly, but you could hear it. It sounded just like her whimpering, and I don't know what it was. It was just like a residue of her before she passed or what it is. If you guys can give me some kind of anything, some kind of insight of what you think it was, because we actually, if I could have recorded it, I would have recorded it, but you could hear her plain as day, but it was very like subtle and very quiet, but you can hear her whimpering after she's been passed away. And we were in the spot where she was laying before they took her to the vet. But that's a little story. Hopefully there is a animal heaven, because that would probably be a pretty nice place to visit whenever we move to the other side. All right, guys. Thank you. I love your show. And I just recently became an ETP. Have a good day.
And there's a lot of people that cross over, and I don't necessarily think they immediately end up in the up or the down area. They're just kind of over here on the side by us still. So I would think that they're still with the animals, because we hear a lot of stories of animals that are over on our side still.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there may be some confusion for pets, mm-hmm. you know, because most pets are pretty loyal and they don't want to leave their owner. So, you know, how do you explain to a dog it needs to go into the light? You really can't do that. No. And I think sometimes they stick around just because they don't know what to do. And then finally they kind of make their way that way.
I think a lot of the confusion comes in because a lot of us had some sort of religious upbringing where they basically said flat out to you as a child, no, when your pets die, they're dead. They're gone forever. I remember having that fun conversation in like second grade, and like all the girls are crying. It's like, do we need to? Number one, why are we even having this conversation?
Yeah.
With second graders? And if that's the belief system or whatever, great. But maybe this little nugget of it doesn't necessarily pertain to anything that's going to be effective for the second grader. Why is it being going on other than let's make children upset? But anyway, I remember having that pounded into me going through school where it's just like, no, when they're dead, they're gone. And that's it, period. Okay. But having done the show forever now, I tend to disagree.
I do.
I'm just having, you know, I'd say the closest thing that I've had to an actual physical experience or something paranormal was what I think was my ghost cat.
Yeah.
As a kid. But no, I mean, I think that happens very, very frequently. And I think it's one of those things that, it's interesting because when you have, if you were brought up with that mindset or that religious belief of pets don't go there, sometimes in the same breath, you can have the thought process or it's acceptable to believe in ghosts of people, but not the pets. And it's like, okay, well, so.
I don't understand that because pets are as alive as we are and they're as dead as we are.
It's because in some tenets of whatever religion, you know, insert whatever specific one here, and it's not all of them, but certain ones. Well, the argument is, well, pets don't have a soul, so when the pet dies, there's nothing to go anywhere. And that was the argument they were trying to make to second graders. Here, color okay. Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt as they flee from the town that's having fire and brimstone. I remember coloring that.
I'm sure you did.
I would love to find that. Just frame it.
It's like, look at my coloring book.
I'm so glad they didn't squash your love of the paranormal when you were going to that school.
I think if anything, it made me more, because I just questioned everything. And if anything, it probably stirred it up more because it made me question everything that much more.
Sure.
It's. I mean, and I could see it all depends on the person or the personality. For some, it would probably completely squash it. For others, it'd probably make it more. You know, heightened it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it heightened it. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more call.
Hi, my name is Crystal. I lived in Underhill, Vermont in 2011. My aunt and I were really interested in the paranormal. We had a sudden death in our family, still fairly around the time, so we started out trying to do our own seances and even made our own Ouija board. Soon after, we had started getting some responses. We had successfully recorded many EVPs and even witnessed candlelight flickering to our responses to our questions. All the while thinking we were communicating with our deceased relative, as time progressed, we soon found out we weren't. We had summoned someone or something not friendly. It started taking stuff around the house, moving it around. We would find different objects that we were looking for just placed in different areas that weren't there. The animals in the house started acting really weird, barking at the walls and stuff. I had a picture actually on my Facebook of me sitting on the couch, and you could actually see a ghost sitting next to me on the couch. Stuff like that would happen. My child wouldn't sleep in the room. At night, my room would take on a total different feeling than during the day. You could just feel the heaviness and darkness because I would constantly be using, like, trying to use recorders to catch stuff, and I would catch stuff every night, hear it talking. And at night when I went to bed, I could hear it whispering in my ear. I couldn't make out what it was saying, but I could always hear it talking, and it felt like I could feel the breath on my ear. There was a certain incident where a blanket flew up in the air by itself, like as if somebody just fluffed the blanket at the bottom of the bed. Just it went on for that for a long time. We just kept catching stuff and stuff would happen. So we had Paranormal Vermont actually come to our house to investigate, and they had caught a few EVPs, and they stated that they felt like whatever it was attached to me because I was the one most interested in always trying to catch EVPs and recordings. I had a video at one point of me video camming around my room, and I caught a shadow figure on my door. Certain things like that would happen. And even after I moved out of that house, whatever it was, it was attached to me and would follow me from place to place. And I could feel it trying to touch me at night. And the whispering was constant all the time. I don't know what happened, but after a certain amount of time, it finally deceased and went away. But I still, to this day, when I go to certain places, I can sense if there's any spiritual activity. I don't always hear it, but I can sense it. Or there's times where I can hear it, but I can't see it. It's just something around me.
There you go.
And I think that's just a really good example of, you know, I can understand wanting to make a connection to the other side after losing somebody suddenly.
Sure.
But this is a good example of why you just don't know what you're going to get coming through that door.
You don't. You don't. And it can very, very quickly turn into the exact opposite of what you were hoping to have happen. And then it just, you know, it goes downhill very quickly, just like that story.
Sure.
So it's, you know, tread lightly if you're hell bent on, no pun intended, you know, going down the road of I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to try and reach out to the other side. Mm-hmm. You never know what may occur. Thank you for the call, and thank you for listening today, everybody. That wraps up today's program of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website, which is ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.